Okay, just fire me up. Tell me when we're live. I'm live. All right, let's start the timer. Y'all, today's message is titled, It's All About Him. You know, through the whole time of our ministry, people come in and they get mad at one thing or another. But I got to tell you, everything we do is all about Him. You know, we came out of a background. I mean, we came out of a big church. Look, man, I can remember 10,000 people at the Feast of Tabernacles. Hey, come on. Those were some good days back in the day. And we had our own set of rules and our own set of doctrines and our own traditions. And they were good. We had good times in church. Some of you have heard me tell the stories about the Worldwide Church of God in Orlando, Florida, how it was like living in the kingdom of God. We all had a look. You could go in a restaurant anywhere you wanted to, and you could tell who the brethren were. Because we all looked, had that little look to us, you know. Go in there and say, that's a church family over there, isn't it? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But you know what? We let church stand between us and the Lord. Man, I tell you what. God is not playing with that first commandment. I am the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. And anything you set between you and God is going to die. If you love it, don't put it between you and the Lord, because when you do that, it's gone. It's gone right now. You can get the box and the packing tape and the little plastic peanuts and pack it up, because it's gone. It's gone. We took the Passover last night. As we've tried to explain for many, many years, we don't just do what everybody else does for Passover. We try to explain why we came to the place we are and what we are trying to accomplish. I'll tell you what we are trying to accomplish. We're trying to tie you to your Savior. We're trying to tie you to your Savior. The defining act of Christianity is the death of Yeshua on that cross. And the defining act of your being a Christian is accepting that sacrifice and painting the blood on you. Everything else is secondary. Amen? Look, I teach the law. I forgot to bring the books, and I apologize. We'll have them here tonight. I just finished the book, Freedom Under the Law of God. Great concept. You'd think everybody in America would be all over this, because we were all schooled in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. None of us walk around saying the Constitution is a bondage. None of us say the Bill of Rights is a burden. None of us say, I don't want to be Afro. I want to be up underneath that Bill of Rights. Oh, Bill of Rights holding me back. There's no freedom without your rights, and your rights are defined in the law. Same with the law of God. I love the law of God. I teach it all the time, but let me tell you something. I know my law keeping is not going to get me in the kingdom of heaven. Look, I love the law. I teach it. I follow lots of little precepts in the law, but I can tell you right now, I am not relying on any of my law. Hey, Isaiah said it's filthy rags, because my law keeping just makes me proud. If I'm relying on it, now I'm not relying on it, it's just obedient service. But if I'm relying on my keeping the law, now look, I love the Sabbath. I mean, y'all hear me talk about the Sabbath all the time. But you know what? Let's just be fair. I've probably, with all of my striving to do right, I've probably never really ever kept the Sabbath the way God intended. If I'm honest with myself, look, you know, I had a teacher tell me one time, there's only three people you got to be honest with. Your doctor, your lawyer, and yourself. You can add God, but I mean, yeah, we always leave Him out of the picture. Look, you don't have to be honest with yourself. I mean, you can believe your own lies. First rule of the car business, you can't believe your own lies. I mean, you tell plenty of everybody else, just don't believe your own, because, you know. But if you believe your own lies, and you think, well, I can do this. Well, I got news for you. I've been doing it a long time. I have made every possible mistake. I've been too strict, I've been too lenient, I've been too hard, I've been too petty on rules, I've been too, hey, it'll be all right. None of us is ever going to get it right. Why? Because we're in a body of flesh. Flesh is not going to glory before the God of all creation, and it's sure not going to glory before the God who died on the cross for you. It ain't going to glory in His presence. Ain't nothing going to glory in His presence except your repentance. I was coming down here last night, and I was praying in the car, praying real hard in the car. I'm the greedy pastor. I admit it all the time. I'm greedy for the things of God. I'm greedy for you to have them. I'm greedy for me to have them. Look, I tell you all the time, my job is to help you find your talents and gifts in the Holy Spirit and help you walk in them. I want you blessed for everything the Lord has given you. I'm praying in the car, and He said, Chelsea, you make me mad all the time. Come on, y'all, get them halos off your head. You know good and well you make the Lord mad too. He said, but your repentance, it's your willing to tell me and go back and do what I said. The Lord gave a parable of two children. The first children said, yes, Father, I will go work in the vineyard. Went off and played and never came back and never thought about it a second time. The second child said, I ain't going in your vineyard to work today. I got my own thing to do today and I'm going to do it. But later that child repented and went back and worked in the vineyard. And he asked you, the Lord asked you, which of these two children pleased their father? The one that went back. The one that repented. He's looking for repentance. He's not looking for perfection out of you. And when you can admit your fault before Him and you can have that repentance, that makes it all about Him and not about you. That makes it not about your law keeping, but about His law keeping. Amen? We didn't do a Jewish Passover in here last night. They'll be doing that tonight. I think they're in a temple this year. That's one reason we had to get out so fast. So we're not Jewish enough for a lot of people. There's a lot of people get on me all the time. Well, she'll say, you're not following a rabbi. You're not under a rabbi. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. They have their share of mistakes. And why should I follow another man's sins? Come on, I got plenty enough on my own. It's not like there's any shortage of them. I mean, Lanice will straighten you out in a heartbeat. There's no shortage of sin at my house for me to have to go import somebody else's. I could probably export quite a few good ones, as a matter of fact. If you want some good sin to export, I got some for you. So why import another man's sin? We're not messianic for some people, enough for some people. I've had lots of folks come here, well, we just wanted something messianic. That's called Jewish light. People come in here all the time. Bill, you're not, fill in the blank, fill in your own blank. You're not this enough for us. Hungry Hearts is not that enough for us. We're not getting what we want. Don't let that be you. I've had so many people come and go. We were talking about the other day. We'd have a church of over 100 people if everybody had stayed. You've seen it, sister. But you know what? We've made it all about Him. We've made it all about Him. People tell me all the time, why aren't you doing the Torah portion? Well, it's simple, because the Lord keeps giving me a right now message to preach. As long as He gives me a right now message to preach, that's what we're going to preach. Okay? And look, I got a lot of new folks in here that don't need to get a paragraph or two out of the Torah every week. Y'all need to be plowing deep in that thing. I need you through it three or four times before we start worrying about a little piece every week. You got to get caught up to speed. Come on now. Look, I got a lot of wonderful friends in Messianic churches. Wonderful friends. We went to Loosedale, remember the turn of the year? A Spirit-filled Messianic congregation. They're awesome people down there. Man only gave a 20-minute message. He's anointed to preach. He's been baptized in the Holy Ghost a lot longer than I have. I guarantee you he could get up there and light the world, light the rafters on fire. But see, they've bound themselves down to tradition of, we're going to do the Torah portion, we're going to do the Haftorah portion, we're going to do the Brit Hadoshah portion, and then all we got left is 20 minutes. Come on now. Come on now. Look, if you love the Torah portion, you read the Torah portion. You get in it all week long, and you mash it with the Haftorah and the Brit Hadoshah, and you do it. I've had a lot of people come and tell me what a great move it's been in their life. I've actually been looking for somebody that can actually kind of work that into some of what we do. I don't want to take away. But see, that's my thing. I don't want to take away. I don't want to lose that right now word from God. I don't mind adding the Torah report. You see, as we've gone through the journey, we call ourselves the Star Trek Church of God. As we've gone on the journey, we've added a lot of stuff. You don't believe me? Just go visit our CGI friends. We were like just exactly like them at one point. I'm not criticizing. They're fine people of God over there. They love God. They serve God. They're living their whole life to do what He wants. Great folks. But we've added so many good things over the years that God has shown us. I want this too. He didn't say take anything away. They read every verse over here that you did last night. Amen? We read all the same verses. Them and us. But we got to have it over dinner. The disciples had it over dinner. Amen. They had it over dinner. Why do you think they fell asleep and couldn't pray for an hour? Why do you think Jesus said, well, couldn't you even pray with me for 1 hour? Well, hey, after they had all that lamb dinner and all that unleavened bread, they were tired. They got sleepy. Come on now. Didn't you feel it? Didn't have Beverly's coffee. That's it, man. No Starbucks for them. So people come in and we're not enough for them and they get disappointed and leave. Don't do that. We have added and added and added all the things that the Lord Jesus has told us to add. We've added His precious things. And you know what? It's all about Him. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It's all about Him. Because you see, what we're trying to do with everything that we do, we don't sit there willy-nilly just add stuff to service. We talk about it. We pray about it. I'm not, right? We've had three meetings about stuff we're going to add. We pray about it for a long time. Why? Because the only things we want to add are things that are going to connect you to your Messiah and Savior in a more intimate way. It's all about intimacy with Him. You know, there's nothing in this room that we do that we didn't sit down and say, is this going to make us more intimate with Jesus or not? And if it's not going to make us more intimate with Him, there's no need for it in our service. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Doesn't mean it's not something we ought to do. It just means that there's no reason for it in service. Excuse me, because when you come in here to worship, I want you to feel enough of God and His power and His presence that you got to get on your face and worship Him. It ain't a... Look, I vacuumed this carpet this morning. Why? So that when you get the move to come in here and want to lay on His face, it's okay for you to lay on your face. I'm trying to remove every hindrance for you to worship your God. I mean worship your God. There's nothing like feeling that powerful move in the Spirit of God when you connect to Him and attach to Him. We read in the Bible last night where He said, I am the vine and you are the branches unless you abide in me. He's the source. It's got to be all about Him. I can't teach you intimacy. So many of us are married in this room, I shouldn't even have to. Come on now. So many of us are married, I shouldn't have to teach you about intimacy. It says, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And you've received the Spirit of Christ so that you can be joined to your Savior and be one spirit. There should be no difference in the worship between you and your Lord. It should just connect right on in there. I can't tell you how to bring that out of you. I can pray for you to receive it. But it's something that the Lord just did for us as we went along the way. It's all about Him. You know, there's been a controversy raging in the church the entire time we've had a church, and it's how much of Jewishness we should have and how much of pagan libertinism we should have. I can't tell you where to draw the line. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. I can't tell you how to hear His voice. I can pray for you to have your ears opened up. I can beg and beseech you to pay attention and to start making the discernment of all the different things that go on in your head, which one is His. He says His sheep hear His voice. He says His sheep hear His voice. Well, if you hear His voice, then when it comes to keeping the commandments, you shouldn't be an argument going on in your head. But of course, the devil will be telling you you don't have to. The love in your heart should be saying, I'm definitely going to. He said to keep the Sabbath day holy. So buddy, come, you know what, or high water. I'm going to keep the Sabbath day holy because Jesus wants it done. It's got to be all about Him. Galatians 2. This controversy has raged a long, long time. And it has been the centerpiece of a lot of Christian discourse. And a lot of people have thrown away God's laws and commandments, saying that I'm saved by grace, so I don't have to do anything He says. Well, you know, I'm saved by grace too, but I'm going to do what He says, because that's love. That's love. My wife likes steaks, so on her birthday, I'm not going to go out and buy her chicken. Amen? I'm not going to take her out and buy her chicken on her birthday because she doesn't like chicken. She likes steaks. So guess what? If I love her, I'm going to give her what she wants. Right? You missed that, sister. You went out to lunch with your mama. Birthday was Thursday. I was going to buy her a steak dinner for lunch, and dinner before work, and she took off with her mom and didn't come back until right before time to go to work. So, hey. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Now, a lot of folks talk about the supremacy of the Apostle Peter. And here Paul's jacking him up right to his face in front of everybody else. So much for the supremacy of one man. Look, people are given an unction from God to do what they're supposed to do. That's all they got the authority to do. So it doesn't make me over anybody. It just means I've been given an unction to teach what I'm teaching. Somebody else will be given an unction to teach something different. I hope you can learn from more than one teacher. Amen. I can't teach what I haven't been given the unction to teach. The other fellow can't teach what he hasn't been given the authority to teach. Each one of us has been chosen by God to teach whatever it is God gave us. I can't teach anything else than that, and the other fellow can't teach anything other than what he's been given. So we should all be able to sit down with the Word of God and take every teacher and sift through what they're teaching and say, oh, this is good and this is bad. Isn't it what they said the kingdom of God was like? A large net cast into the lake, and when they drag it ashore, they put the good fish in one pile and toss the bad back. That's what we have to do. So he's opposing Peter to his face, because before certain men came from James, Peter used to eat with the Gentiles. But when those men came, he withdrew. And even Barnabas was carried away. We're not talking about God's commandments here. We're talking about personal convictions. We're talking about personal convictions. You know, the commandments of God got to be kept. The Lord your God, the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. He's the only God you shall ever have. You have no gods before him. Two, don't make any graven image. Take it and bow down and worship to it, because the Lord your God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquities to the fathers of the children of the third and fourth generations, but showing mercy to the thousands of those that love him. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Sometimes we do that because we bear his name and we do stupid things. Come on, I do it too. Other people see it and go, you're a personal God? Oh, I don't think so. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother and all the rest of the commandments. My point being that commandments got to be kept, but convictions. Convictions can't be put on other people. So I can tell you got to keep the Sabbath day holy. Because not only do I have it in the Ten Commandments, I got it in three or four other places where he commands you to keep the Sabbath. I can tell you that. But if I have a personal conviction, something the Lord has told me, and he's told me several things, I have to walk it. But I can't tell you, you have to walk it. Perry Stone was told, don't go to movie theaters. You know what? The Lord doesn't like it when I go either, and I've only been granted exception once or twice. Don't go to movie theaters. I can't come to you and say, y'all shouldn't go to movie theaters. May be cool for you. The Lord told me the last time I went to the video store, don't come back in here, boy. Y'all want to rent a movie? Y'all got to go. I'm not coming in here. The Lord told me not to go. I can't tell you don't go rent a movie. That's a conviction that's put on me, not on you. It might be perfectly okay. God may tell you to go to the movie theater. I have all kinds of convictions that the Lord has told me. This is what I want. You want one of them? Don't come before me without all the stuff I told you. You want to pray in private? Son? Do we need to talk? Oh, I'm sorry. I can't tell you don't pray without your tallit. But I was told don't come without all the stuff I told you. Okay, that's a personal conviction. That's nothing that you have to follow and nothing that I need to be holding over you. Not eating with the Gentiles was a Jewish tradition. They came by it honest. The Gentiles were into all kind of unclean stuff and had all kind of bad behavior, and they didn't want to hang out with them. Okay, I can understand. But when they get saved, and we do the same thing in the Sabbath church by saying, oh, we can't hang around them old Sunday Christians. Why not? They're saved by the blood of Jesus, the same as we are. My commandment keeping's filthy rags. We can't build up a wall between believers that Jesus tore down. Come on now. That's a conviction. Barnabas was led astray by his posture. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you're a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile. Peter wasn't following all the laws of the Pharisees. He wasn't living up to all the traditions of the elders. He was keeping the commandments of God. You can bet on that. See, they take this and they want to do away with the commandments. It's not the commandments that got done away with. The commandments of God, that is. It was the commandments of the Pharisees. Did Jesus ever give those people quarter? They picked grain. We did that one time. Pentecost time came. The wheat's harvested. They left a couple little on the edge of the field when they didn't want to, you know, I guess the combine didn't get all the way. We grabbed some and crushed it up, made it. It's really good. And you can see the disciples on the Sabbath going to temple, going to synagogue. And hey, there's a little grain here. And according to the law of God, it was okay for you to eat. Just don't harvest. Right? In other words, if I'm walking past your field and I want to get a handful of grain, that's okay. God said it's okay in his law. Don't harvest any, but I can eat. That's in the law of God. The Pharisees said, why are you working on the Sabbath? And they wanted to make a federal case out of it. What did Jesus? He rebuked them. He said, He's Lord of the Sabbath. It wasn't wrong for them to get something to eat on the Sabbath. It was a tradition of men that they broke. What about when He healed the lady bent over for 12 long years? And the ruler of the synagogue said, there's 6 days to be healed. Come on those days, but don't heal on the Sabbath. Don't what? Man, you got to be obsessed with rules to not want to heal somebody on the Sabbath. What better day is there to pray? This woman, hey, what indictment can He give these people? This woman been coming to temple for 12 years. Why is she still healed? Why is she healed the first time she came in? Why is she still bent over and bound to the devil? The temple of God is where the healing takes place. The deliverance takes place. The yokes are broken off. The power of God is made manifest. Why is that demon comfortable in the synagogue in the first place? But they were obsessed with man-made rules. It's not about man-made rules. That's why I don't make them. You know, some people manage by rules. Somebody does something stupid, so instead of going to the person saying, well, you know, that might not have been the best thing to do, maybe we ought to try it this way, they make rules. Okay, nobody can do this anymore. It's about relationship, man. If you can't make that personal, heartfelt, passionate love affair with your Savior, rules are not going to save you. You can add every tradition to the law you want to, and they have. I love the Jewish people. Long before it was popular, I was advocating in the churches I was in, you know, we need to go back to the Jews. We owe them an apology. We owe them an apology. They've been keeping the Sabbath forever. We think we're all so high and mighty on the Sabbath, and we've only been doing it since 1844. And so we owe them an apology. We need to give them the respect and the honor that they're due for being loyal. We've tried to beat them out of the Torah in pogrom after pogrom and persecution after persecution, and they held fast. But that doesn't mean I need to go and learn every tradition that they carried with them. Hey, look, some of the traditions are great. We've got traditions in our family. One of which is we're gonna hide the pies when you come over on Thanksgiving. I'm not being silly. When Miss Niece makes pies, those are pies, baby. We will hide the pies on you. Don't even go looking in the back rooms because we will come back there to do you bodily harm. We are going to hide the pies. We are not trifling about that. We're serious about those pies now. Somebody thought we were playing until a pie broke out. Hey, man, one of Miss Niece's pies? We are serious, Jack. I mean, hey, that's a family tradition. Should I impose that on you at your household at Thanksgiving? I'll hide all the pies now. You've got traditions, and they're fine. Just don't impose them on everybody else, because they're your traditions. Okay? But now, if you come to my house, we're hiding the pies. I mean, that's a promise. You're a Jew, and yet you live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Not the law of God. The law of God's being taught in the Christian church. They're teaching them to follow the laws of God, but He's saying the customs. You know, they were actually requiring new proselytes, new Gentile proselytes, grown adult men to get circumcised. That doesn't mean you shouldn't circumcise your newborn son on the eighth day. We're talking about grown adult men. And guys are saying, hey, if that's the cost of joining your church, man, I think I'm going to the one down the street because I ain't. That price is a little high. And so they were saying, by your traditions and customs, you're making it difficult for the people to come in. It wasn't the law of God. You see, the law of circumcision was given to show who was under the covenant. Right? You know what it said? Now, I'm not without deviating too deep on this. Paul talked about how it was given to Abraham after he had faith in God, as a sign of that faith, not before he had faith of God as a condition of that faith. Our circumcision is of the heart when we get baptized. Now let me ask you a question. Did your heart get circumcised when you got baptized? Is your heart tender to the Lord? Do you have that relationship now, or is your heart still hard? Did you actually circumcise the heart, or did it just sound good and you came on in? See, these issues come up all the time, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm just trying to get you to look at yourself and think about it in your own heart. Look, I can't tie you to Jesus. I can't give you the engagement ring that says you're married. He's got to do that, okay? I can only ask you questions to make sure you know in your heart where you are. It's not up to me. I'm not going to make that decision for you. Good, bad, or ugly, it won't be my choice. It will be your choice and His choice. But did we make it? Did we make the choice? Did you decide you want Him more than you want your own life? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law. I teach observing the law. But that doesn't make you justified before God, because Isaiah said my law keeping is filthy rags. Look that word up in the concordance sometime. It's a lot worse than you really want to see. I know I'm not justified by my works of the law. My law keeping is never going to buy my ticket in the kingdom of heaven. It's just not possible. It doesn't mean I don't keep doing it. It doesn't mean I don't keep living it. I did live in my house. Got all banged up, bruised up, vacuuming all the vans. Had a hard time, but we did it. Emptied all the vacuum cleaners and all the stuff. Hey, we did it. It doesn't justify me before God. Only the blood of my Savior can justify me before God. We're here at Passover. Every one of us is a sinner begging for mercy before a beneficent God. None of us have the right standing to say, well, Lord, you know, I'm a good person and I've done right and I've never defied you. I've never disobeyed your commandments. So you owe me my passage in the kingdom of heaven. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We all stand here as sinners before God. Now, let me ask you a question. What's the value of the law? Paul said, much in every way. Why? Because your reward in the kingdom of heaven is based on your works. You know what he said? I will reward every man for his works. Didn't say I'm going to let you in the kingdom based on your works. I'm going to reward you for your works. That word works is works of the law. You're going to be rewarded for your works of the law. Did you keep the Sabbath? Hey, there's a reward in heaven for that. Did you keep from putting anything before God? There's a reward for that. Did you take His name in vain? There's a disreward for that. Did you honor your father and your mother? Look at that reward. That you live long in the land where you're going. Where's the land you're going? The kingdom of God. How long you want to live? Forever. Hey. See, there's rewards for keeping the laws of God. So we too have put our faith in Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. So we have to discern where we're going to go with this. We can't earn our salvation. How Jewish do we become? Or how libertine do we become? The term in the theological circles is antinomian. The word nomos in the Greek means the law of Moses. Antinomian means anti the law of Moses, or hostile to the law of Moses. So by its very definition, the word antinomian means you don't like the law of God and you ain't going to keep it. Wow. I'll tell you where to discern the line. You go to Yeshua and you get in His precious presence. Amen? You get in His precious presence and He'll tell you exactly where to draw the line. Keep my laws, keep my commandments, walk in my statutes, my judgments, and my decrees. The traditions that you like, that's great. Don't put them on somebody else. Walk it in my laws and commandments, A1, straight up, dead on. But all the traditions, hey, I'm German. We got some nice German traditions too. Okay? But I don't tell everybody that's what you got to do. I don't tell people you have to wear a tallit to get in the presence of God. That would be silly. But I can tell you it makes me feel like His arms are wrapped around me when I'm wrapped up in mine. See? So I'm not putting a conviction on you. I'm just telling you, this is a tool I use to get in that precious place with Him. You see, it's about intimacy. Now, come on, ladies. I see these catalogs all over the clinics. And ladies, you got friends that get these catalogs to wear clothing to be more intimate with that man. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. This is my apparel. To get intimate. And the Lord knows when I put this on, I didn't put it on to play. I put it on because I want Him. Okay? This is my intimate apparel. That's why sometimes I go places I don't break it out. Somebody said, well, we're putting our tallits on. Why aren't you getting your tallit out? It's not a toy. I wasn't trying to be rude or ugly. They were going to break it out, parade the Torah, and take it off. There wasn't going to be any worship or presence of God. Well, my tallit was happy in my briefcase, thank you. I break my tallit out when I want His presence. I break my tallit out when I want to feel His touch. I break my tallit out when we're going to get intimate in the Holy Spirit. I don't break it out just for show because you brought the Torah out. I mean, I love the Torah. I kiss the Torah. I'll touch my Bible to the Torah. I respect and honor the Word of God. I'll show my love and adoration for the words that God has given us to live by. But I'm not breaking my tallit out unless we're going to have the presence of Jesus in the house. You understand what I'm saying? Come on now. I mean, that's just all you get out of that. I have absolute faith. I am trusting in the perfect life of Yeshua Jesus. I have faith in Him. I have faith in His work on the cross to get me in the kingdom of God. And I'm a law preacher. Miss Frieda will tell you, if Sandy was here, she'd been with us the whole time just about. I have taught on the law virtually every time I have gotten up to speak. It always comes up. I was preaching to Christ crucified and I was there telling you how you got to live by the law. I mean, I can't stop. That's part of what I've been given to teach. But you know what? My law keeping is never going to get me in the kingdom of God. I'm relying on Jesus' law keeping. I'm relying on His perfect law keeping. I'm just practicing, amen. I'm just practicing while I'm in a body of flesh. Why? Because if I make it in the kingdom of God, I'm going to have to administer that law over planet Earth. So how can I administer what I don't know? I can't teach what I haven't lived. You ever seen that? Mechanics can teach you how to work on cars because they've done it. Locksmiths can teach you how to unlock locks because they've done it. Landscapers can teach you how to landscape because they've done it. You can't teach what you don't know. So if you don't know God's law, how are you going to teach it in the kingdom of God? You're not going to be able to. You'll be learning it like everybody else. I don't care how much commandment keeping you do. Today we're all sinners standing before God seeking mercy and grace because of Yeshua's awful, brutal murder. We need His sacrifice. It's not an optional thing for us. Every one of us was going the wrong way. There's not a person in this room that was going so well the Lord came to you and said, oh man, you just the bomb, man. You are doing it right. Come on in. I'm just going to take you on in. No, the Lord came and found every last one of us and said, hey, excuse me. You really sure you want to take that next step? Come on now, we've all felt the hand of the Lord stop us from a life of sin. We need that. We need that. Here we are in the Passover, and there's not a person in this room that doesn't need the Lord to pass over your life. Pass over your sin. And I got news for you. If the blood of Jesus is not on the doorpost of your heart, you ain't getting your sins passed over. The death angel only passes over where he sees the blood. And if the blood ain't there, you got to put it there. If you go back and you look at Exodus, you'll see that these people had to kill their own lamb and take the blood with their own hands and put it on the doorpost and lintel. And you've got to do the same thing in your life. I can't do it for you. I can't preach you into heaven. I can't preach you in the kingdom of God. You have to make these choices and decisions of your own free will. And I'll tell you a little secret. You've got to do it based on love. You've got to do it based on love. As we talked about before we got started today, we did the message, do you love this lamb? Let me ask you a question. Do you love the lamb? Do you love the lamb? Do you love him enough to govern your conduct? Do you love him enough to govern your life? Do you love him enough to bend your stainless steel titanium will and say, I'm going to do it your way because I'm tired of doing it my way. My way's never done a thing for me. My way's got me in more trouble than I can handle. Lord, I will give it up. You know, we don't like the word surrender in the South, but I got news for every one of us. We are going to have to surrender to Adonai Yeshua. We are going to have to surrender. We're not going to be able to. Look, Ananias wanted to hold back part of the price of that house. And did it get him anywhere? It got him in a quick grave. Look, they told him it was your money. You could have done whatever you wanted with it, but you decided to hold part of it back. Look, it wasn't because he held the money back. It's because he lied about it and said he gave it all when he held it back. He could have said, I'm going to give half of it, and that would have been just fine. But he said, I'm going to give it all and showboat in front of all the brethren, and then he kept half of it back. That ain't working. You can't come in here and say, I'm totally surrendered to Jesus and holding back a piece of your heart. Well, that little piece you can't have, Lord. I'm going to hold on to that. I got a little something in there I got to have. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. We either surrender it all or we surrender none of it. And that goes for our traditions. That goes for our personal convictions. I got a lot of friends that get involved in stuff. I got a lot of dear friends that got involved in the calendar issues. There's issues with the calendar, I'll tell you straight out. But you know, nobody's got any proof on it. The first published Hebrew calendar is from 400 A.D. Moses lived a long time before that. Come on now. I mean, I've looked at all the evidence. But you know what? I got friends who are convicted to follow one calendar or another. And I tell them all the same thing. That if you're convicted, you better follow it. Just don't tell me I have to. I've kept holy days with them on their calendars. Why not? We did Passover. We did Passover twice 1 year, didn't we? Why not? If they're convicted, I can go down there and keep Passover with them and then keep it on the day I'm convicted. Why not? Why not? You see, that's love. That's love. I got friends in so many different kinds of sacred name movements that blow your mind. So many. They're convicted on it. If you're convicted about the use of sacred names, use them. Be careful. Because it said, don't take my name in vain. Just be careful. Follow that commandment. Don't use the sacred, what you think the sacred name is, vain. But you got four consonants and no vowel points. Okay? If you got it, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad you did. But I don't know one person in all these sacred name movements that all use the same name. They all use a different name. I'm not convicted. But I tell you, I use the sacred names. I use the sacred names. I'm not convicted to not use Jesus. And I've been brutally gone over that. Well, Pastor Schultz, you know, use that JC. If you didn't use JC, we'd support your ministry. I've had so many people walk out on me over that. Look, man, people out here don't have a clue what you're talking about. Every Bible at the bookstore just about says Jesus. And if you say Jesus, they know you're talking about. And if you don't say Jesus, they look at you like, huh? So are you going to reach them or are you going to walk? That's your choice. But if you're convicted, you got to follow your convictions. But don't put it on somebody else. Oh, you can't use JC. Well, why not? Paul, in these Gospels, had a choice to write whatever he wanted. Paul was fluent in 5 languages. He could have written it any way he wanted to, but he wrote it in Greek, Iesus. He wrote it in Greek, Iesus. I didn't write the New Testament. I'm not smart enough to write this Bible. I can just tell you what's in it. And Paul wrote Iesus. Look it up for yourself. It's there in every translation. As a matter of fact, for Lord and Adonai, As a matter of fact, for Lord or Adonai, he did not stop and write Hebrew in the Greek New Testament. He wrote the Greek word Kyrios. Oh, wow. Well, now hold on. If it's this important of an issue, why did Paul write it in the Greek? Listen to a tape the other day. Guys trying to say that the restoration of perfect Hebrew is going to happen before the Lord comes. But every Bible verse concerning that is always in the kingdom. In the kingdom, he's going to restore the perfect language. In the kingdom, he's going to restore it right. In the kingdom, he's going to give us what he wants us to have. In the kingdom, he's going to make all men of one language. Right now, there's power in saying his name in every language. Right now, there's power in that. Why do you think we pray in tongues? We pray in tongues, and I heard Perry Stone talk about this. He was talking about his dad. His dad was praying for people in a healing line, and he said his prayer language changed. Every single person he laid hands on, he prayed in a different language as he went along. And he asked him later, he said, Dad, did you notice your prayer language changed every time you laid hands on a different person? He said, yeah, I did. He said, what do you think it is? He said, well, the Holy Ghost told me that that's because I was praying against the demons in that person, and they came from different countries around the world. And he prayed against them in the language that they were familiar with from the country they came from. Okay, you pray in tongues because God wants his name glorified in every language, people, tribe, and tongue. You can look that up in the Bible later. The Sabbath is a command. The use of one name or one calendar or one tradition is a conviction. You keep your convictions. You keep your convictions. If you're convicted to do it one way or another, you do it that way. Unless the Lord releases you from it. You do it that way. Because God placed that on you. That's your cross to bear. I've got my cross to bear. There's convictions he's put on me in my life. I said, went back one time with one of them and I said, well, Lord, that's not in the law. He said, did I ask you if it's in the law? I told you to do it.
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry, Lord.
You got a conviction, you do it. But if you got a conviction, don't make it a federal case for everybody else to do it, because that conviction applies to you and anybody else the Lord puts it on, but not to just everybody in general. Amen? Now, why did I bring that up? Oh, why did he bring that up? Because your brothers stand or fall based on their faith in Yeshua. They don't stand or fall based on your convictions or mine. They don't stand or fall based on your doctrines or mine. Look, I came from a church that had great doctrines and great traditions and great convictions, okay? But you know what? I had to get rid of those when I left that church. And it wasn't because I just wanted to. No, I'm hard-headed. I had to get rid of them because the Lord said, that's got to go. This one right over here that you love so much, it's got to go. The Lord loves taking your favorite doctrine, your favorite little teaching, slapping it out of your hands and kicking it around on the ground while you scream and holler. Why? Because He's not going to let anything stand between you and Him. And if you keep putting stuff up between you and Him, He's going to keep slapping it on the ground and you're going to keep getting upset. So look, just get on board with the Lord. Let Him do what He's got to do. He's smarter than we are. He's been doing it a lot longer than we are. He knows what you have to have in your life and mine. And you know what? What Miss Beverly needs ain't always what Miss Niece needs. Amen? What Miss Niece needs is usually not what Miss Bev needs. Now, that doesn't make Miss Niece better or Miss Bev better. It says God is a loving God who's going to care and nurture for you exactly what you got to have to get you to exactly that place in the kingdom of God. And He's not worried about offending either one of you. Now, Romans 14. Romans 14. Again, we're not talking about commandments. You know, the Sabbath is a commandment. I've been keeping the Sabbath since I found out about it way back. Didn't always know how to keep the Sabbath when I first found out about it. But I mean, I did what I thought. It's not the command that puts the power in the Sabbath. It's not the command that puts the power in the Sabbath. It's the intimacy. If you fail to keep the Sabbath, you will not get the intimacy with Him on it because you didn't obey. But I know of thousands of brethren around this country who will keep the command today and never have the intimacy with Him. And that's sad. And I know lots of Sunday keepers who are not going to keep the Sabbath today, and they're going to have some intimacy with the Lord tomorrow. Come on. That blows a lot of Sabbath keepers' minds. It short circuits some synapses. But let me tell you something. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. That's why one person can break a commandment, which is a sin, and still have contact with God because they know Him. Romans 14. Now, that's not an excuse to break the Sabbath, by the way, but that's, I'm just trying to show you something, that the intimacy is the goal. And you can be a commandment keeper in perfection and have no intimacy with Jesus. So what would be the point in that? Well, you need to rest. But let me tell you something. If you can combine these and you can walk in the obedience and tap into that intimacy, there's a whole lot more for you there than anybody's going to find on Sunday. There's a lot more. Hey, that bread is put out fresh on Sabbath morning, baby. It's day old on Sunday, any way you want to look at it. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Well, some people don't think the calendar is a disputable matter. Okay, I'm sorry, but you know, the Sanhedrin has not resolved the issue yet. Just they haven't. What can I say? Look, the Lord didn't leave me in charge of the calendar. I've heard a lot of calendars that make perfect sense to me. You know, if I was going to do it, that'd probably be the way I'd do it. But he didn't leave me in charge of that. He didn't say, hey, Chelsea, you're my man. Straighten that calendar mess out. He didn't tell me that. I have no authority from him to touch that calendar. But I'll tell you what he has told me. You be so good to my people at that temple, B'nai Israel, that they see me in you. He has told me that. He has told me that. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be so good to those people, Temple B'nai Israel, that maybe if I'm lucky, they'll see a little piece of him when they see me. Maybe. But we must have done a little something right there. They're coming to give us Torah service next Sabbath. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't pass judgment on disputable matters. And then he's going to talk about eating vegetables and being a vegetarian. I fought that spirit. Vegetarian spirit's a bad spirit. It's a bad spirit. I know a lot of friends that never could overcome the vegetarian spirit. It's a spirit of, I eat only vegetables, therefore I'm superior to you. Oh, I was eat up with it. Look, there's not much in the church of God you can do and be off track that I haven't already done. Come on now. I mean, look, some of y'all are real smart Christians. Some of y'all are real wise Christians. Some of y'all are real close to the Lord and you haven't made many mistakes yet. And praise God, I hope you never do. But I've never been one of those. Everything I teach and tell you is because I made that mistake already. I did it. I was a sacred namer. I got off on the calendar issues. I was a vegetarian that thought I was superior to everybody else when God said it's okay to eat clean food. I called God a liar on that. I've made every mistake there is to make. I've been Mr. Sabbath police. I've been Mr. Torah terrorist. I've done it all. I've done it all. Come on now. I mean, I'm just being, we in church today. No such a lie. We just took Passover last night. Okay, I've done all these mistakes. That's why I can teach you about balancing these things, because I've made all these mistakes. And Lanisa will tell you, I was rough on the Sabbath. Oh, I had to be a certain way. Where's the chapter and verse, buddy? Didn't have one. But it was my take on it. I'm the head of my household. Yeah, sure, buddy. That's a quick way to be the base of the household. You know what I'm saying? That's the quick way to be the base of the household. It's amazing my family had enough love to keep me in the house, because I'm sure there were several times they wanted me gone. Come on. Look, when I talk about having been dirty dog at one point, believe me, I know what I'm talking about, okay? I've done it. So he's saying, look, the man that eats only vegetables is weak in the faith. His conviction is overriding his sense of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about the dietary laws, because Paul uses the Greek word broma, which means only those things considered food under the dietary laws. All broma is fit for eat. I am convinced that no broma is unclean of itself. Why has that come up? Obviously, food that is called clean in Leviticus is clean, right? No, because they considered it unclean in Rome because all the food was sold in the meat markets and every bit of it had been sacrificed to an idol. And he's saying that all the cows in the meat market are clean of themselves, even though they were sacrificed to an idol, because idols are nothing. All the cows are clean. All the chickens are clean. He's not saying all the pigs are clean of themselves, because he's using the Greek word broma, which means only the food okay for the dietary laws. But look at here. Verse 4. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. This is the most important concept I can put in your mind at the Passover. Every one of us had to come and take the bread and wine last night. Every one of us needed the bitter last night. None of us can go to somebody else and say, well, brother, you don't do thus and such the way I think you should. You ain't good enough. Oh, man, no, no. Of all times, the whole heart of the foot washing ceremony is to show that you are not lifted up against your brother. You are all equal together because we all need the same sacrifice to pay for it. I don't care how many sermons I preach. I don't care how many books I write. I don't care how many times trips I make setting up this hall. I'm no better than the person that just came in and had a good time and left. And if I keep that attitude, then my service will earn me reward in the kingdom of God. But if I come in here and say, well, I worked for 4 days putting this Passover on. Y'all just showed up. All reward gone. All reward gone. I might as well have stayed in bed. I might as well have stayed in bed. It didn't earn me anything. You see what I'm saying? If my work and service is not devoted to because of my love for Yeshua Messiah, then I might as well stay at home. Because it didn't earn me any reward in the kingdom of heaven. And the moment I lifted myself up over some other brother who maybe couldn't get here to serve. Look, that's between them and the Lord, not between me anyway. But as soon as I lift myself up over somebody, I'm better than they are. Hey, done deal. Stick a fork in me, it's over. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Look, I've had to be tested on this so many times. Because you know what? The Lord is able to make that brother stand. And just because you hardened your heart, he will. Come on. Well, I told you I've made every mistake. I've made that mistake too. Come on, I've made them all. We're here on Passover. I'll just tell you straight. I've made them all. I've held myself up over other brothers who weren't living right. Sure I have. And I've had to humble myself on my face before God and repent of it. Because you know what? God's going to make him stand. If for no other reason than to show you. He might have wanted to give that person what they deserve to bring them to repentance. But you got in the way. You got up in the way. Oh, you're all so proud and stuff. So he's got to work you first. Never forget this minister. You ladies, think your husband needs to take a shot from the Lord? Well, get up out of his way. Maybe he can take it. If you're up all in the way, then he can't take the shot. And it works for the wives too, guys. Hey, look, when we're trying to get in the way, the Lord can't work. We've just got to learn to back up and let God be God. You know, we've only got one person we can change in this world, and that's ourselves. There's only one person we can work on. That's me. I can do something with me. But as we find it at Passover, not always as much as we'd like, huh? Sometimes we've spent so much time all year long worried about everybody else, and we come to Passover, it's like, oh, I ain't done enough work on me. Oh, my goodness, I'm short again. If we just get busy on ourselves, we'd solve a lot of problems in the world. Just think, if everybody in this room worked on ourselves all year long to get right with God and came back at Passover next year, would we have that much more of God's presence in the room? Yeah, we would. Would we have that much more love one for another? Because we wouldn't be looking at this person or that person, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. See, Sandy's not here today. Anybody ever wonder why? She's preaching the Passover to a Baptist church. Praise God. Praise God. And it'd been easy for somebody to look and said, well, Sandy didn't come up today. Where is she? It's Passover Sabbath. She's not in church. See, it's so easy to take the wrong when you don't know. But we need to give every brother the benefit of the doubt until we do know. Unless the Lord told you in private something's going on, you just need to just be happy. And give everybody the benefit of the doubt that they're doing what they're supposed to. They're preparing their heart. They're trying to be good and right. Because, you know, you may not know all the rest of the circumstance. I can't know what's in your life. I can't read your mind. And you know what? The couple little times the Lord read some people's mail to me, I couldn't handle knowing. Frankly, we can't handle knowing what's going on in each other's lives. Ours is enough. Ours is enough. Now we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2. Oh my goodness, we didn't even done page 1. Ha ha ha. Ephesians chapter 2. I got to get to Philippians though, my goodness. Well, when you get the tapes and they run out and we're still preaching, you know why. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves a circumcision. See, this was a big deal in the church. People made a federal case out of being circumcised. And not only a federal case out of circumcision, but all of the Jewish customs that went along with it. You notice I don't wear a kippah. No one's ever explained to me how I get intimate with Yeshua wearing a kippah. And when they do that, I might wear one. I'm not opposed to wearing a kippah. But no one's explained to me how that's going to make me closer to Jesus. Now, when they do, I'll have it on. Why? Because I want to be close to Jesus. Intimate apparel. The Victoria's Secret of Christians. Come on, get that halo off your head. Come on, you know. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ and excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Even though many of us are descended from one of the lost tribes of Israel, every one of us has been cut off. If you don't de-leaven your house, you are cut off. If you eat leavening, you are cut off. If you've done this more than 2 or 3 years, you'll have a story where you ate some leavening. Come on. Come on, I will never forget this day as long as I live. I had to make a very early sales call at a hospital in DeLand, Florida. And I always like to get some coffee and read my Bible. And that morning my stomach was a little queasy and I just wanted something to hold my coffee. I had to get up very early and I'm in DeLand. I go to a McDonald's and I just didn't want to get the greasy potatoes. And so I wasn't thinking. Look, I don't think before 10 o'clock anyway, right? And I bought an apple muffin. And I sat down and I read my Bible and I drank my coffee and I made my sales call and I didn't think a thing about it and I went through all my day. At the end of the day, I'm making a sales call in a mobile home park, real nice the high-end mobile home park, and they had a jar of cookies there. You had the candy bowls, and they had it full of cookies. I thought, oh, that cookie would be good. I'm kind of hungry anyway. I'll go reach for a cookie. And I realized, oh, it's unleavened bread. And that's when it hit me. And I'm sitting out here in the lobby, and he's already been told I'm waiting out here, and I was so shook up I had to leave. Now look, I'm waiting on someone to come and see me, and it's an important client, but I was too shook up to have a sales call. I gotta go get in the car and cry for a while, because I just did what cuts me off. We've all been cut off. Excluded from citizenship in Israel. Wiped out from the promises and without hope. But look what he says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. You've been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one. What's he talking about, two one? Jews and Gentiles. You know what Gentiles means? Lost and without covenant. Lost and without covenant. So anytime we've been lost and without covenant, that includes a lot of us, right? He made the two one. He destroyed the wall. Every time we try to raise up a wall between believers, I don't care what it's based on, Jesus tore that wall down. And when you raise that wall up, you are opposing Christ. You are opposing your Savior. He tore the wall down to make one body of believers, and we keep raising walls up. And look, I'm the most law-keeping pastor you'll ever have, and I'm telling you that. I live by the law, but you can't raise a wall up between law observant, Torah observant brethren and anybody else that has the blood of Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. When's the last time you looked at somebody and saw the blood on them? You can't look at somebody and tell if they're a Christian or not. You can't see the Spirit of God in them. You can't see the blood of Christ on their heart. So how can you look at somebody and say, you're a believer and you're not? You can't! If you don't take them at face value, you bring yourself under the judgment of condemning a fellow Christian. I didn't make this up. He destroyed the wall, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh, not the Torah, but the law of exclusion against the Gentiles. Not the Torah, but their traditions of excluding the Gentiles. God in Isaiah says, my house will be a house of prayer to all nations. The tabernacle of David that's being rebuilt in the Christian church was open air and open to everybody who wanted to worship Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. It wasn't closed off. Anybody could come before the ark and worship him. The tabernacle of Moses is not going to be rebuilt because God doesn't want to be put in a box at the back of the sanctuary where only the high priest has access. He wants access to you. It's all about him. It's all about that intimacy with him. You know, obedience, because he told you so, is good. Obedience to his commandments because I love him is better. Obedience to God Almighty because I am madly in love with Him is best. Now, this ministry started in a prayer meeting in Somerville, Tennessee. And a great woman of God came to me not long after that, and she said, I have a word from the Lord for you. And look, I'm a little OX Worldwider. We didn't get those. You know what I'm saying? I never heard of that term. I didn't know what she was going to say. I didn't have no idea. But I could feel something inside to let me know that maybe I should pay a little attention. And she said, this is the word of the Lord he gave to me last night. You, my friend, are at a division in the road. Good, better, or best. And you have to choose which way you want to go. And I didn't have to answer her right then, but I knew what I wanted. I didn't come in this to be weak. We had to face that when we had to face down the vegetarian spirit. The man that eats only vegetables is weak in the faith. I didn't come in this to be weak. I didn't come in this to be trifling. I didn't come in this to be just sitting on the wall. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. I came in this to be red hot on fire for my Lord. I came in this to be red hot on fire for my Lord. I understand zeal that's misplaced because I've had zeal that's misplaced. I understand the lack of zeal because there have been times in my life bad things have happened to me and I've wondered, have I just done all this for nothing? I've been through it all. Red hot in love with Yeshua is where it's at. Red hot in love with Him. I can't give that to you. I can't impart that to you. I can't give you a set of rules or a complicated formula. And I've tried all those things. Okay, it's not because I didn't know. I tried all those things. Patsy's husband died. He had strokes. I went in there so proud and arrogant. Oh, if I pray in the name of Yeshua, He'll get healed. And I've long time thought if I hadn't had that attitude, He might have lived. But God had to show me. God had to show me. When I bought your tallit for you, Miss Barbara, they cast a demon out of a woman. It was the last day. And as that demon screamed on the way out of the hall, I saw some kid was playing. I didn't hear. I heard the story later. One of those big shipping trunks that they pack all of Perry's stuff in fell and broke a boy's hand. Hand all black and blue and bloody as broke. Perry Stone went over and prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And when I saw that hand 30 minutes later, there was only a small little bruise on the inside of the palm. Praise God. But you know, I was arrogant at one time and thought that if you didn't pray in the name of Yeshua, you wasn't going to get an answer. But here Perry Stone got prayed in the name of Jesus and the guy got healed. Fred Stone, 9 confirmed cases of cancer. Been to the doctor, you're giving up to die, 9 healed. Fred don't even know what Yeshua means. Come on, you know Fred. Look, it ain't about the name. It ain't about the formula. It's about your relationship. God hears Perry because Perry knows God. God hears Fred because Fred knows God. God didn't hear me because I put a wall between brethren that He's not going to tolerate. Doesn't matter whether it's calendar issues. That's why I love my calendar friends. That's why I love my sacred name friends. I can't build a wall up between nobody. If you've got a conviction to use Yeshua or Yahushua or whatever other version of the name there, use it. If you've got a conviction to go on a different calendar, if I can make time to show up and I'm welcome, I will show up. Because we can't have walls. Now I want to go to Philippians. This is so important. This is the basis of the sermon. And you know, it's God's sovereign will. He's sovereign. Sovereign means He can do what He wants. Sovereign means He does what He wants and we'll get happy about it. Philippians 3. Sovereign doesn't mean He's bound. Sovereign means that He is sovereign. You know, we don't have kings anymore. We've kind of lost touch with that. If the king says off with your head's coming off. There's no recourse. It's done. If the king says you get the land grant, you get the land grant. If the folks on it, just too bad. Move them off. The king is sovereign. His word is final. So it's based on God's sovereign will, not our formulations. Believe me, I put them all together. Look, I used to think that if I put together the right combination of songs, the fire of God would fall and people would get whatever they wanted. And the Lord taught me. Hey, well, it gets it, sonny. I'll tell you what songs, and you put together the formulation of songs I want. But you know what? My fire falls on the hearts that want it. I can't make your heart ready for the music. I can look. We spend all this money, put all this atmosphere together, so that you come in here and you can get close to your God. But I can't make you do that. It's your intimacy with Jesus that makes it all happen. These are just pictures on cloth. These are just silk plants. This is just nice music. But if you can't make that connection with intimacy, you ain't going nowhere. But you know what? If you can tap into that, we might not be able to get you up off the floor. You might get to be drunk. Philippians 3, verse 3. Now look, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the greatest Christian writer in the Bible. Make sure it doesn't go over 75 minutes. We got 10 left, I think. I was listening to Perry Stone yesterday, and he found a book of famous Jewish rabbis, a history of them all. This man was taught under Gamaliel, the most famous and the greatest rabbi in Judaism, Gamaliel. Saul of Tarsus makes the list. And it said that this man would have followed Gamaliel as the chief rabbi of Jerusalem, but he converted to Christianity and they cut him off. This is in their history. This is the man who's writing this to you. Okay? And look what he says. For as we who have this are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God. We have the circumcision because we worship by the Spirit of God. So I got to ask you, do you worship by the Spirit of God? Do you worship by the Spirit of God? That's what's important. Look at this. We who worship, who glory in Christ Jesus. Are you glorying in Christ Jesus? Are you glorying in your law keeping? I'm not talking God's laws. I'm talking convictions, traditions. And who put no confidence in the flesh. I put no confidence in my flesh, brethren. I can tell you right now, my flesh is going to do me wrong every time I get up. Let me just tell you, it usually happens in the first 5 minutes. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Some versions say Pharisee of Pharisees. This is a Hebrew of Hebrews. No one that you will ever meet in your life will ever exceed this man. As for zeal in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. You can keep all the Passovers exactly the way they do it in the synagogue you want to. You'll never exceed this man's legalistic righteousness. You will never exceed this man's legalistic righteousness. I don't care whose book you read. I don't care whose names you use, what calendar you follow. I don't care whose Torah portion schedule you're on. You're never going to exceed this man right here. Pharisee's Pharisee. Persecuting the church. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. That's heavy. My whole former way of life in Judaism, whatever might have been to my benefit, and he was next up in line, I consider loss for the sake of knowing Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Look, y'all, you read over it too fast. He's saying that I followed more rules than any man will ever follow. I walked in more doctrine and tradition than any man. I followed more ritualistic formulas to get the magic encounter with God than anyone will ever do. And I consider it manure. But he didn't use the nice term manure. He used a gutter term in the Greek for manure. He considers it all manure for the all-surpassing greatness of knowing. So where does the all-surpassing greatness come from? It comes from knowing Christ. There's no substitute for that personal relationship. You can have all the rules you want to. It's not about rules. It's about relationship. Look, when you get married, you can give your wife a list of do's and don'ts. You're never going to be happy with that because you want the intimacy from her. Women, you're always coming to us. Well, I think you ought to do it this way. I think you ought to do that. Does it get you intimacy? No. A little love does wonders, doesn't it? We passed out all those books from Dr. Laura. You know what it said? It said, all you women are in charge. You've always been in charge. God made you in charge from the get-go. You've always had all the power in the house. You know, she actually makes the comment, I am never going to write the proper and care and feeding of the American wife. You have all the power. You have all the power. And how does she tell you that you can have all the power in your house and your relationship? Love your husband. If you love the man, he'd do anything for you. You have meat out of your hand. Literally. Come around. Come, little puppy dog. Come on. Right here. Scratch him. Hey. If you love your husband, you can make him do anything. But you know what? You know what? We're talking about Jesus. And I don't care what rules you follow. I don't care what things you do. It's the all-surpassing greatness of knowing him. I use sacred names. You know why? Because it's intimate. I don't always use it in public because I'm using it in private. I say things with her I'm not going to ever repeat in front of any of y'all. Come on. Slap them halos off your head. There's a lot of married folks in here. Come on. There's a lot of stuff. Hey, where is the power in the relationship? In the bedroom. When you're being intimate. When you're being close. Like I said, this is my intimate apparel. It's your relationship with Him. It's your relationship with Him. It's knowing Him on that intimate basis that gets your prayers answered. It's knowing Him on that intimate basis that gets the miracles in your life. Hey, are you still going to have trials? You bet you are. But how about deliverance at the end? Hey, how about the miracle and the blessing when it's finished? You see, it's the all-surpassing power of knowing Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my law keeping, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Good, better, or best. We can't keep people in this church. Oh, you're just a mean pastor. Well, yeah. You know, the mean pastor for when you get serious about church. People come to church and play. People come to church and play. It's a bless me club for so many people. Oh, bless me. Oh, I can use the Hebrew names. I get a little more blessing. Man, look, the sacred name is for you to use with your intimacy with Him. Yeshua. Yeshua. When Peter wanted to know who was going to betray the Lord, what did he do? Hey, yo! Jesus! Who going to betray you, man? No, he didn't do it that way. He whispered to John. Why did he whisper to John? They're only a couple people apart. Because John was leaning on Jesus. And he was a lot closer to Jesus. Hey, John, ask the Lord who's going to betray him. So what does John do? He leans over on his chest. Hey, Lord, who's going to betray you, man? And hey, John got the answer, didn't he? It wasn't because he had the right combination of things that we all like to put together. It's because he had the right relationship. He had the right relationship. There's nothing like getting on your face in worship and having that right relationship with Him. And Barry can't hardly get up off the floor. Why? Because you've been intimate with Jesus. That's where it's at. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. Now, I'm not going to have time for there, but I had intended to close this message out with 1 Corinthians 13. It starts out with, and now I will show you a more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a clanking cymbal or a banging gong. If I give my body to be burned. You know, all of these things we do, if we're doing them for reward or we're doing them to look good in front of the people or we're doing them for any other reason than I just adore my Savior, then we're just making noise. We have to have that love for each other. Everybody can't be the same person. Everybody can't do the same things. Everybody has a different part to play. That doesn't mean any person is better or less better than somebody else. It just means we all got a different part to play. Stump your toe sometime and see how big time it matters. Okay. Have a toothache. Have a bad toothache. Man, that shuts your whole world down in a hurry. Just a bad toothache. You won't be able to do anything. Oh, man. I can't. Hey, look, it doesn't matter what part you are in the body of Christ. You are important. And you know, reward is not based on whether you're a foot or a head or an eyebrow or a tooth or a little philia in the intestines. Doesn't matter what part you are. Same reward. You know what he said? Those who work all day get the same pay as those who work the last hour. Look, we're all going to get in the same kingdom of God. Your reward is based on how you love everybody. Do you love everybody? It's got to come from loving Him first. Look, in the world they tell you can't love other people until you can love yourself. That's worldly wisdom. But the wisdom that's pure comes down from above. And that does not say that. It says you got to love Him. And you've got to be able to see Him in the other person. And when you can see Him in the other person, then you can love not just the Lord, but your fellow brethren as well with that same love. You know, some of y'all have been here a while. You know that we are very loud. We're very boisterous. We have a lot of commotion.